The dork you grew up with on radio for 40 years is now in a tidy digital place. Doc on Demand, where you pick the topics, then you be on the dang podcast. Live now in the Eagle app.
Well, it's Doc on Demand. We've gone and done it. We've got the radio show now in podcast form. Like a little Tide Pod of joy, right? I am proud to lead off this this brand new feature in the Eagle app with my buddy Mark Kempker of No Wake. How you doing, buddy?
Man, I am doing awesome. Just
so
great.
So let's talk. Before we talk about No Wake stuff in a little bit, what does the real Mark do? What's life like for the? Because I know you're like an honorable dude that really is on the front line. So let's talk real Mark life stuff. What do you do in your, for somebody that doesn't know you? What do you do?
Okay, so for someone that doesn't know me, I really am not a rock star. Yes, I actually get.
You're a rock star in denial, right?
Yeah. I get an opportunity. It's a lifelong dream to be able to help people. So, you know, for me, I have an opportunity to work at the Hannibal Fire Department full time, and I work down there. I also have had a great opportunity to teach a lot of firefighters. I work for the University of Missouri and MACC, and I stay active. Trying to help people, yeah, Salvation Army Board, you name it. My biggest downfall, they say, is I can't say no.
Which is why you're here.
Hey.
So I was like, hey, Mark, I'm going to do a podcast, man. You want to talk about No Wake?
So
like,
I guess that's the big thing.
So you've been, No Wake, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys have been around for over 15 years, right?
Well, No Wake started 2007.
Okay, so my math was almost right.
Yep, and then in 2010, the singer quit with them, and I ended up, my cousin, who helped found the band, Sean McCarg, we met in Lowe's, say, hey, what's up, man? He's like, well, I'm doing good. How's the band going? I'm like, we lost a singer. I'm like, okay. He's like, you want to sing? I'm like, I can't sing rock and roll, man. For 20 plus years, I was known as a wedding singer. From the time I got out of high school, I sang over 20 years of country music or The Rose or whatever was popular for weddings at that point. But on that day, a fateful day at Lowe's, he said, well, come try out for us. Audition for us. I'm like, oh, okay. So I auditioned for him, and I went from being this guy that used to sing wedding. I was a wedding singer, and I also performed at the Molly Brown from the time 86 to 92, which is like your show choir stuff. And I transformed into a rock guy, and it was a great moment. And from that point in 2010, about April of 2010. I have been in that band ever since, and we've had a lot of fun and created some fun music, and we have had the opportunity to do 3 EPs, and we're still working on some more.
And that's one thing about No Wake. You guys do original music, but you originally went from being the Islands in the Stream guy to Crazy Train, right?
I did, yeah. Like, if you can imagine, I think some friends of mine, Andy Patton got married, and I remember singing The Rose for them, like I think it was Bette Midler.
Yeah. Outstanding.
Yeah, I sang that, and to go from there into Ozzy, and we've covered Avenged Sevenfold. We go all over the spectrum.
So I'll be the old man in the room. About 40 years ago, when I started doing this, for a band to start out, you know, the big goal was to get signed by a record company, get distribution, you know, so their music could get out there to the world. And then the record company, of course, works with radio stations like this and to get played on the radio. So how does first of all, let's talk about the goals of No Wake. Like when you guys actually got started, you said you didn't really have the goal of being like a band touring America, right?
Well, absolutely. I mean, our goal was just to have gig money, go play music, and really have fun. So in 2010, I was the third singer, and we'd kind of morphed into doing we were doing those 4-hour bar shows and like every Saturday night. So basically, if you want to be in a band that does cover music, you need to probably, you get up early on a Saturday, about 12:30 you meet up, you load your trailer about that time, then you drive. Or if you have to drive 3 or 4 hours, you're going to get up at 7, and then you're going to load your trailer, and then you're going to drive to where you're at. Well, then you're going to set all that gear up, do a sound check around 4 o'clock, and then, hell, you guys want to get something to eat? Yeah, let's spend some of our money on food. And back then, bars were a lot. They would say, hey, you know, free drinks on us.
Yeah.
And show starts at 9. So from about 4 to 9, you just kind of hang out and you hang out, and then you start playing your music, and, well, 1 o'clock comes around and 1:15, and you're like, all right, last call. You do your, you finish your show, and then you reload all your stuff, and it might be 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning when you get back home. So that's the life of a cover band. And after a few years, and when we first got into it, we really, you know, we had some ideas that we wanted to do some of their own music. And when I came in, they had a few of their own songs. So we kind of wanted to be able to express ourselves, not be so limited on cover songs, like you got to sing it just like this guy, you got to play it just like this guy. Maybe have a little more fun and be more original. And that's kind of, we turned the corner and decided that we didn't want to do any more four-hour shows. They just wore you out. And I'm old.
That's why you're talking to me. So, well, you were telling me this is like, this is almost like, considering how hard your regular life work is, this is almost like a therapy, like a creative release for you, right?
It is. So our band is very unique, and I love our dynamic of our band. But we have, you know, we went from being a five-piece to a four-piece, and now we're back to being a five-piece. And we've been a five-piece for a while, and we really, really, it's the only way to go. But three of our members are firefighters, and other two are busy in their own life and working in the private sector. So, you know, but for us, some of the things that when you get to sleep, we might be up, you know, in your worst day, when you call 911, and whether that is, we think it's emergent or not, it's emergent to you. And all of those particular attributes we carry with us for 20 years, 25 years.
You just
it builds up. So having the ability to play music gives you that stress relief. So when I go on stage, I'm not Mark the fireman. I am Mark the rock and roll guy that can pretend and have fun, and you can really de-stress, and you see people smiling out there or singing your music, and it just really makes you feel good. And, you know, our band is really went from being a cover band to a small little band in our region that gets the opportunity to play with some very cool acts, as you've experienced before.
Last summer, this is like just a matter of weeks after I came home, of course, there was Warrant and Firehouse.
Yeah.
The big 30th anniversary show, the Hannibal Riverfront show back in the day. And you guys had your own following that was there. They were, sure, they want to see Warrant and Firehouse, but they were there also there to see you guys. And the big response. With those bands, what do you think like the biggest show you've ever played? Like, so what, as far as artists in your eyes, what's like as good as it gets?
Well, we actually had an opportunity. We played with the Molly Hatchet, Blackfoot, Quiet Riot folks. And it was originally going to be in Kansas City, and the pandemic hit, and then they moved it around. And anyway, we got sent out to a little town called Ulrich, Missouri. And there's a amphitheater out there.
Wow.
But even during the pandemic, that show was the first really, like, I'm looking at your posters and seeing these guys. I was like, I remember in 82, we're listening to, Bang Your Head, the Quiet Riot. Now, granted, Quiet Riot, all of those guys have since passed away, or, you know, the whole thing is morphed into different, but it's still, as a kid,
still Quiet Riot.
I listened to it. They are Quiet Riot. And the Molly Hatchet guys, cool as can be. Jimmy, very cool. So having that in the fall, and then having Firehouse and Warrant on the books, those are our two biggest shows. And I love down at the barbecue fest in Hannibal, and Jason with Heartland, and he put that on there, and he had the opportunity, and he gave us an opportunity to hang out with Joey, and I get to talk to him and say, hey, yes, two bald heads guys stick together. It's very cool, because again, I saw them 30 years earlier.
Right.
And I was just a fan. And now, how cool is it? I get to be backstage, have some roadies, and get to interact with those guys. And for you, it's the same way. You're like, oh, wow, this is kind of cool.
It's very cool. Yeah, because I remember we had a chance to talk to Joey before the barbecue fest here on the radio, and what they've been through over the years with Janny, and, you know, some of the struggles they went through with his passing and everything else. But, yeah, that's, you definitely have those I can't believe I'm doing this moments. Like Molly Hatchet, I remember KGRC used to do late night rock back in the early 80s when I was in high school, when you were in high school. And Molly Hatchet was one of the first bands I remember hearing on when they would turn it to rock late night on the radio.
Yeah.
And so it's great that you guys get to actually rub elbows with those guys and share a stage.
And then, not to mention that, we've had a really good flair of working with up and coming bands that are There gives you such an opportunity as far as, I like the Royal Bliss guys and the American Hitmen guys. And the American Hitmen, they were on America's Got Talent. When they got done with America's Got Talent, they came to Hannibal. And then the next year they came and they played with us at our Epic Music Showcase. And, three of those guys are Marines. Three of us were firefighters. So we start talking about, the stresses of what we had to do over there. We'd come back to the pit and play music, and it kind of de-stressed you. And we're like, dude, we feel the same way. It's like make believe. It's pretend. I get to go on stage.
Well, you said that's kind of what you want for the fans, even the younger generation now, right?
Yes. That's the thing is, we are really kind of pretty much an original rock band now, and we've been blessed over these few years. My cousin Sean works really hard with marketing the band, and we've talked to people that are marketing agents, not signed. We're never going to be that. We're going to be your hometown little bitty rock band that you can, count on. We'll probably still be around. We might only do 10 or 12 shows a year, but if we're playing, come out. I guarantee you we're pretty high energy and we have a lot of fun. And you'll get to hear original music that came from our life, our heart. And I think the kids nowadays need to know that, you can take a cover band, and cover bands, I apologize to all cover bands in the world, because we all know they don't last 30 years. They don't last 20 years. They last till somebody gets mad and they take their toy and they leave. And then 2 weeks later, now the band, two of them are in another band with two of these other people, and it's called, the new band, the new cover band. And but at the end of the day, they're just playing someone else's music. And if you have an opportunity to write down how you feel and put it into that music, it will help you heal whatever trauma you may be going through. And we can talk a little bit about those things, because obviously our second album, it had a certain degree of a tone to it that was a healing tone.
Yeah, you were saying you had a loss in the family of your band member that because you guys have three albums out now, right?
We do. We have three albums, so and this we are working two. On a fourth.
Nice breaking news. Thank you for that. So, but to talk about that album and what real life stuff ended up affecting what you guys recorded.
Well, absolutely. So that was our second EP, and it was called Act of Defiance. And before we ever started writing it, about 2 weeks before we went into the studio, Sean, who is my cousin, and he's the guitar player, started the band. His little brother, and which is my cousin, passed away from a heroin overdose, August 30th, 2015. Bam. Kind of hit us. So we all, we went down in our studio 2 weeks later. We're like, no band practice. And we kind of tried to do band practice once a week, kind of like you would practice softball, football, or whatever. Of course, granted, you practice more. We try to have a practice, even if it's just to bang stuff off the wall and write new, or, hey, we got this upcoming show. Well, when he passed away, our first song we wrote was really, it's called Incipient, which in the fire terms is it's the beginning of a fire. It's the incipient stage. It's starting to go. And of course, there comes the fire related portions of our undertones. And we wrote that song. I remember I had the whiteboard there and Sean was playing some music and drums were going a little bit and we were trying to get the feel for the song. And I'm like, Colin liked being down by the Mississippi River. Colin liked, laying on the ground watching the sky. And if you deem into the lyrics, you'll kind of see where we kind of started out. I had a whiteboard and I wrote, okay, he's at the river. And I kind of wrote a story up and then the lyrics just started to flow and it kind of built. And it was a very healing. There was a couple songs on that album that was to do with strife.
So the fact that you guys were willing to do that, I guarantee that there are multiple people that'll listen to that that are also dealing. I mean, let's face it.
Oh,
life is hard.
Yeah, it is.
I've got friends that that have either had tragedies happen to them specifically or to their kids, and if somebody's been through a similar situation, they'll identify with that song and latch onto it, and that will now be their therapy song.
Right, and it's called Incipient, so it kind of breaks out. He goes through the whole story of the song is here's Colin. He's down. It starts out, smoke rises off the water as I lay here. And it kind of morphs, through your day. And then it basically goes through all of the troubles that you kind of have. And then the chorus is, save me from my fate, save me from my fallen grace. It's a call for help. And it's like this power, We're a heavy band, if you didn't know that. Hi, welcome. We're No Waken. We don't have a lot of gentle flyby.
This is not a kinder, gentler band, right?
No, we really don't have a lot of screaming. Sean does what little screaming we have, and I do the singing. And so, you know, the second album has a lot of heart put into it. I don't know if it's good. Obviously, it's all, everything you do is artistically, it's interpretation of the person that's listening to it. And what I'd like to say to the kids is, go pick on a guitar. If you got something in your mind that you know, obviously you want to do a little rhyming. And there's a lot of people that do rap and they rhyme really well. And I like rock music and rap and I like all kinds of music. But just get out there and de-stress from life. I mean, I don't think life's any harder, has ever never been any harder than it is now.
Yeah.
With the mental issues that people have. And, of course, I respond and see these folks. And, yeah, so if you can dive into music, I take transfers. I still work for the ambulance district, and I'll take people with behavioral issues. And sometimes in talking with them, I'll say, well, hey, I'm in a band. I said, I got some music. You want to hear it? Yeah, and we'll spend an hour and a half. I'll be taking them to the hospital, and we'll be listening to music in the back of the ambulance just as therapy, and that's kind of what music is.
Yeah,
it's therapy.
So, peering into the future, any exciting things on the near horizon for No Wake that you can talk about yet?
Well, next year looks to be good. It's going to be fun. I think the biggest thing is we're polishing up a new song, and rather than wait till we get a whole bunch together on an EP. Our poor band is putting money together to record, and then we'll release it. And, you know, if you like Shaman's Harvest, Nathan in Shaman's Harvest, he has a lot of cool bluesy things, and he mm-hmm. does. And so yep. this song was kind of inspired by a little Shaman's Harvest twinkle there a little bit. And so we get this all polished and get it recorded. We would like to get it out there before the end of the year. But it's just going to be a single. Yay!
I promise.
I get 9 cents off of it. Come on now.
I promise that once you get it done, send it to me. We'll send it out through our app. How's that?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
So, what's the best way for somebody that maybe it's brand new, maybe No Wake, maybe they haven't had a chance to check you guys out? What's the best way to follow the band and interact with you guys?
Well, you can social media, right?
Sure.
You go to Facebook, you hit No Wake, and you like the band. Actually, you can't even like the band anymore. You got to follow the band. But then within there is a private group called No Wake Nation, and that's No Wake Nation fans, to where they can interact together and they get the first dibs on certain stuff. And we actually, I think we're a very giving band. We've got fans, honestly, it was last year we picked up our first fan in Syria. We've got fans in Europe. We've got fans in Australia. One song when we released it was in a internet radio show in Australia, and it kind of high and had fun. And but you can listen to our music on Spotify, iTunes, CD Baby, if that's still around, Google, whatever. I mean, it's like every app you can imagine we're on, because when you go to record an album and you pay them the money, distribute it out for you.
Yep. Don't you love digital? Like with our app, I've got I sometimes will get a note from people in Finland who just think we're great. You know, I was like, come on, Brian. Suddenly I've got a following in Finland, you know, go figure. Yeah. Some fishing village out there by the North Sea thinks, you know, they got the eagle on while they're bringing in their catch.
That is so cool. And I, you know, like looking at the demographics from different places that have listened to our music or that we've developed fans, it's like, Syria? Really?
Yeah, right.
That's cool. Israel. And then, of course, the American Hitman guys are big in Europe. And our type of music is still very big in the European marketplace.
Yeah. Mark Kempker from No Wake, thanks for the time, buddy. We appreciate it. Yeah. We'll stay in touch, and we'll continue to fight the good fight for you.
That sounds great. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Doc on Demand. No rules. No rails. No kidding. Now, on the 100.9 Eagle app, you've been warned.